We're about to bring the heat. Inside, overhyped and underplayed.
Overhyped. Create jobs and opportunity.
In this election, here's what I want to do.
Or underplayed.
Overhyped and underplayed, and we bring on our friend Scott Reed for that. Scott Reed, welcome back to the program. CTV political commentator, former comms director for Prime Minister Paul Martin. How are you, Mr. Reed? It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
On the radio. I see you on TV.
Yeah,
it's a mug.
It's been a while. Yes, no, terribly devastating, really, Paul Newman-esque. Everything's fine. Everything's great. You know, it's American Thanksgiving. It bothers me as a Canadian that I have to work on American Thanksgiving, which I know is irrational. You talked about that already?
No, I was wondering about that because I, too, sort of feel like maybe I feel like, you know, it's like you're caught in the slipstream of their relaxation.
Well, I've got a couple American clients, so they, you know, like today they canceled calls, and I'm sort of like, well, why should I have to work at all, really? I mean, I'm a citizen of North America, you know? I wish to assert my Canadian citizenship at all times, but particularly when it advantages me. But
let me ask you just a straight question, Reed.
Yeah.
What is better, Canadian Thanksgiving or American Thanksgiving?
Oh, I think American Thanksgiving is significantly superior. I've got family in the States. Like, Thanksgiving is such a monster of it. I think it's happened in our lifetimes, though, eh? Like, I think that Thanksgiving in the United States used to be Thanksgiving here. And then somewhere, like, I think right around Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, it blew up. They turned it into, like, it's been a 30-year journey, you know, since John Candy and Steve Martin got together. And they physically, with the power of pop culture, turned that holiday into something that all of America grinds to a halt and just celebrates for, like, an entire week, really.
You think it was just plain, I love that movie, though, but when did it become popular? Because I think it was Abraham Lincoln who proclaimed it a national holiday in 1863, buddy.
Well, that's an impressive piece of trivia off the top of your head. But I think that it chugged along, you know.
I didn't have to Google
very
that.
Very little
And
Lincoln,
if you hear the Google machine grinding, just ignore it.
Very little Honest Abe momentum until, you know, they ran into John Hughes. And then I think Planes, Trains, and Automobiles kick-started that holiday and turning this thing on. Now everybody takes the day off before, so they take the Wednesday off, then they take the Friday off, then Friday's Black Friday, make a shopping day on the whole day in the whole wide universe. Like, they've made Thanksgiving something that it wasn't when we were kids. So it's much bigger in the U.S. than it is here in Canada.
Yeah,
it's bigger than Christmas in parts of the U.S.
Yeah. I would say this. There is an article that I'm just Googling now from 2019, The Invention of Thanksgiving, Maskers, Myths, and the Making of the Great November Holiday by Philip Deloria in The New Yorker. And maybe this is what you're referencing in your encyclopedic mind.
That's just my hot take. Now, if it turns out that it's rooted in learned journalism, well, that just goes to show you the value I add to this show.
But it's all accidental value, just so you know. It's completely
story of
you
my
just
life, man.
If I trip over a fact, you can say thank you for discovering that truffle of knowledge. Overhyped or underplayed? We've been talking about inflation here. I don't think for politics you can never overhype inflation. Inflation is kryptonite for a government, whether they caused it or not. How is the inflation crisis politically overhyped or underplayed?
It's still underplayed. I mean, look, I actually think that it runs both ways right now in the House of Commons and in our political system between the conservatives and the liberals. It's underplayed by the liberals. They're trying to figure out how to get their hands around it. They're suffering from governmentitis, where they think that, you know, if we remind people of the facts, if we say that it's a global phenomenon and that therefore we're not responsible, that will help somehow. It won't. They're going to have to deal with it no matter whether they like it or not. So they're in the early stages of coming to grips with the reality that this is going to dominate their political reality. Then you've got the conservatives, who I think are overhyping, because I think they're overreaching. You know, they're trying to make an assertion that people intuitively don't buy, which is, oh, the Trudeau himself is to blame for this, or that it's all a consequence of high spending. But you mean the high spending that you guys were in support of during the pandemic? So, you know, it doesn't all add up. But look, ultimately, this issue is going to dominate the next 18 months of our political lives. And either the Bank of Canada is right and it will start to dissipate after supply chains and other short-term phenomenon move, or it won't. But boy, you think about the 1970s, inflation rips through governments like a bear, and it just leaves blood and empty electoral fortunes everywhere.
I think Mr. Trudeau cannot get away with, well, look, it's a global supply chain issue, and we've got childcare, and we've got a housing strategy, and that's going to deal with it. You need more immediate relief, or you will look out of touch. And the truth is, and I've gone over this, the stats are everywhere is dealing, you know, on average, the OECD countries, the 38 countries, the G20 countries, the EU, 27 countries in the EU, they are all dealing with inflation that's about double the 2% target. So it's a big problem, and it could get worse. Canada's at an 18-year high. There's no spinning that. And if you're a politician, you can't keep knocking on doors and say, hang on, it's transitory, like the bank says, it's going to pass, when it's been here for 6 months and could be another 6 months if and it could get worse. So I'm with you. It is an underplayed issue. The question, my big challenge on this is making sure we ask, it doesn't just become shouting at each other. What are the genuine policies that governments can do to lower it? And if you look at what Joe Biden did, and Joe Biden's in big trouble on this issue, one of the first things he did is he made the ports in like Los Angeles open 24/7 to try to reduce the pain of supply chains. Because, man, when people don't get their Christmas gifts on time, that's a political problem for the government.
Well, listen, I know we're going deep down a policy rat hole here, but you know, my argument to the government would be, first, make a distinction between inflation and cost of living. Inflation may be a global phenomenon, but cost of living pressures is a problem here in Canada, and we understand that that's part of our problem to deal with. Then you got to come up, like, with all honest to God, I mean, all big problems like this, you got to come up with a multi-part plan. And by the way, people want to hear that. They want to hear that the government actually has thought this thing through, and it's got like a 3, 4, 5 point plan. And one of the points is going to be, we have to lower pressure on supply chains. So these are the things we're going to have to do at ports. These are the things we're going to have to do to help rail and roads, get all that. So that's one part of it, working with your international partners. But then you're going to have to think about, well, where can we provide relief on a cost of living basis here? What's within our direct ambit? Do you bring all the provinces together and say, listen, let's have a bit of a powwow here on relative jurisdictional efforts that we can make? Like, there's a pile of different things you're going to have to do. Try to find places where, even if you say, you know what, we're going to do it on a temporary basis, we're going to try to relieve this cost burden here or there. Like, you've got to be responsive on the cost of living thing. And as you say, you can make an intellectual argument that $10 childcare will help. But, like, for Pete's sake, it sure sounds like you're retconning the policies you were pursuing already and saying, oh, it turns out that they also
benefit. Yeah, that's and the other thing is, it's not going to be immediate. That's the thing. Inflation hurts today. You can't promise a solution tomorrow. You need a solution today.
It's the opposite. Yes, $10 a day of care will help a lot for families who are feeling that cost of living burden, but that will help down the road. But in the course of building that system, we are indisputably adding huge fiscal stimulus, and that does contribute to inflation.
There's no question it does. You can't keep pumping it in. But is it the only cause? No. Is it partially a cause? Yes. And Kevin Page told me that last
night. It's not the biggest cause. It's not the biggest cause, but it's a cause. So you got to figure that out. And that's where the conservatives, there's also a trap. They keep talking about the spending that they themselves championed as being the sole cause of inflation. You know, they're going to get caught. Eventually, they're going to get caught in their own contradictions.
Well, I will play the clip from Budget Day, April of 2021. I have it with me right here, of Aaron O'Toole telling me, we have supported all the programs that help Canadians throughout the pandemic. In fact, in some cases, we voted in favor of getting money and support out to people, even though we knew there were problems with the programs. That's Aaron O'Toole. He said that to me on TV in April. So that's going to be an issue. All right. A happy American Thanksgiving.
All right. Enjoy your cranberry sauce.
I don't eat cranberry sauce. Gravy and turkey, but no cranberries. That's Scott Reed.